Good morning. Today's class is Le'unishma Yehuil Yehuil Megadal, Success Yerushalayim L'Sheva Vanava, Gad Yelvin L'Sheva, Emet B'L'Sheva, Shefer B'L'Sheva, Reina Makav Tov Basha, Emet Ben L'Sheva. This class is also in success of David Pack, and you can tell Yehuda Ben Mordechai Gittel that they should both B'Zrat Hashem find these Zivug. This class is also in the merit of the soldiers. This class is also in the merit of the hostages to come home, and the merit of world peace, God willing. June 4th, the event in Eid V'Shalom, in Teaneck, New Jersey, and God willing, Park East on June 6th. Please get the tickets because they're running out soon. All right, today's class, we're going to do lesson 23. Just a little bit about the Omer. Today was almost the halfway point of the Omer. You could see how we need the extra, we need to fill up the gas again. You know, we feel like the amount of inner work in the Omer, it's a lot of inner work. Anytime, again, remember what Rav Ashlak says. You know, when you're going through suffering, it just shows you how much self-centeredness there is. So that's the majority of our stress is coming from our self-centeredness. And this is where we have to really, really work on getting out of ourselves. So again, we are at the halfway point, and we have about at least 25 days more to go. So God willing, after the Omer, usually the energy changes a little bit, but this is definitely energy after the 33rd day of the Omer. The same thing in life, when a person's 33 years old, that's when usually they have a midlife crisis. 33 is usually sink or swim kind of concept. Something happens in a person's life at 33, it's like that sink or swim. You go, either you break through or you break down. And that has, I've seen that with so many times people ask me, you know, they ask me questions, etc. I said, how old are you? 33? Okay, got it. So you're going through a sink or swim situation in our life. But it usually happens at 33. I don't know. It's just that's what happened to me. And it's amazing how it constantly is happening to... It could be the concept of the 33rd, you know, third of your life. Who knows? Okay. This class is really, really very, 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 very deep. It's lesson 23 in Likutei Moran. It's extremely, extremely deep. It'll give you the connection between gambling addictions and sexual blemish addictions, how it's all connected. It'll give you the... It's just, there's really, really so much. Let's get started. So basically, Reb Nachman says that a person has two countenances. There's two faces that you have. And according to your face, really, is where God shines on you. And there's a countenance of happiness, and there's a countenance, God forbid, of sadness. And Reb Nachman says here, and he brings the shiny faces. Remember, when you are shining, when you are joy, the importance of having joy is that you're bringing glory to the Shekhinah, you're elevating the Shekhinah. And unfortunately, when you don't have that joy, it's a darkened face. That darkened face is connected to melancholia and idolatry. Basically, anytime I'm depressed or something, it's because there's a form of God forbid, idolatry or sadness on the other side. Such as anytime we say, oh, that person ruined my life, or that person took money from me. It's a form of blemish of idolatry. It's a blemish of idolatry. It's a blemish of faith, which brings you to sadness. So Reb Nachman says here that there's a countenance of the other side of melancholia and idolatry. And it says, you shall have no gods before my countenance. You know, we're commanded, hey, no idol worshiping. But today, idol worshiping is something else. Now, there are people who have come to a desire for money, and they do not believe that God could provide for them with livelihood through an easy way. And they extend great effort in chasing after their satsans. As it says in the verse, they eat their bread with sorrow. With great sorrow they will eat. Sorrow means melancholia. Such people are tied to the side of the other side. And these people will only have, at the end of the day, there's no joy from the money. So yes, there's people with a lot of money, but it doesn't mean they're happy. Understand? Money makes you more of who you are. But unfortunately, when you're chasing money, it's not a good sign, because what's going to end up is a very, very sad face. And you're going to, everything's going to be, yes, you can have tons of money, you can have your private planes, you can have all your things, but your relationships will be a disaster. You have no relationships with people, you have no relationships with family, and that will bring you to sadness. It's the bottom line, it's one of the curses that we have. We've said that what is tavot mamon, what is a desire for money? Practically, Reb Nathan tells us it's three things, which I've said it's called wow, right? When you worry about money, when you withhold money, you're not giving charity, you're worrying about it, You're not giving charity, you're not giving it away, and you're obsessed with it. Those things bring to, it's a wow. Wow, like, wow, what am I doing? That's what we have to be careful, because that means your relationship with money is very, very net worth is self-worth. So when we fall into the net worth is self-worth, that is exactly the job of this, of the evil inclination, to trap you, to depress you, to knock you out of the game. And Rav Nachman also says that if a person's obsessed with money, all he's going to get is not money. He's going to get enemies. Just like bees are cleaved to honey. So you have to have a relationship with money. And there's no other way, Rav Nachman tells us, to be saved from this than giving it away. Giving it away, giving charity is the only way you can even survive from this issue. If you're giving it away, you're it's like you're salting the bread. You're preserving the wealth. By giving it away is basically giving it away is for you, not for the person. And how do we know that this is connected to sadness and idolatry? Because he says, how do we know that idolatry? Idolatry is like an impure woman. It's like a person's nida. And he says here, but those who conduct their business faithfully are attached to the light of holiness. And it says there is no faith without truth. This is justice and faith. So again, you have two faces on your face. Remember, I will bless you based on your face, on your panim. Your joy, blessings in your business is coming from your attitude and your honesty. So it's, and remember, it's nothing in the world is coming because of you. It's coming through you. So let's get that illusion out of your head that don't fall into the curse of, with my hands I made money. You didn't, Peter, in 1 second, COVID, you could see Hashem shut the whole world down in 2 years. Nobody, all the power, nobody was open at the end of the day. So with my hands, with your hands, I'll shut the world in 2 seconds. It's through you. Everything's coming through you, through you, through you. Remember, you make the business, and then God blesses it through you. Yes, you have to have, you can't rely on miracles. Yes, you cannot rely on, open up, you have no experience in a business and expect to open up and all of a sudden it's coming through you. No. God doesn't want to create a miracle. But at the same time, you have to create a decoy, but all it does is it comes through you. So this is why when we're not successful in something, we should just understand that either God wants us to learn a lesson, or it's not, it's the bracha is not there. That business is not going to be successful. So it doesn't mean that nothing will be successful. It means that mazal is gone in that business. You could see so many things today. People get into the cash event, but then they get into this business, they get into that. There's certain businesses that have the mazal. And this is why the word mamon means money, is 140. The numerical value of the word mamon, if you take the word 137 plus the words, mamon means 140. Kol, prayer, means 140. Tzom, fasting, also means 140. So basically these three things, you can change a decree. By giving charity, you can change a judgment in heaven. Why Mammon is with this 140? It's because there's a pasuk that says, this is why there's 140 cries. So Rav Nachman says here that earning one's livelihood, this is a Gemara in lesson 118, that earning one's livelihood is twice as difficult as childhood, as childbirth. That means making a living is twice as hard as giving birth. That's what the Gemara says. It's a curse. It's a curse. I have no idea why the feminist movement today wants to work, and they're getting double the curse now. So I have zero idea. Maybe they should read that Gemara. At the end of the day, you're not, you know, people are working more and having less kids. You're falling into this curse at the end of the day. Again, that's a whole different class onto itself. So what is this curse, Rav Nachman saying, this curse of 140? This curse of 140 is you have to be careful 70 times. You have to cry out to God that you should for parnasa. You have to cry out that God should provide for you. We have to ask for it. God should provide for you. And the 70 and the other 70 cries, you have to beg God to not let it think it's coming because of you. It's coming through you. So at the same time, you have to say it's coming. I have to work for it. But at the same time, it's not coming because of me. I have to be saved from greed. Because it's not money that's the problem. Money does amazing things for people, but money does come from the north, and it does come from the gold comes from the north, and that's where money and evil can come from the same place. So you have to be very, very careful that money changes you. Money changes you. Money makes you arrogant. Money makes you You know, think you're better than other people. Money gets you away from God. There's a tremendous curse to money if it's in the wrong receiver. So today, unfortunately, you see people that have money. They're very arrogant. They drop their religion. They think, okay, what do I need? I need God. I have money. It's a very dysfunctional. I don't understand it practically, but money should only, you should be more grateful and thankful instead of being arrogant and thinking you're God. But again, we are. It is what it is. So Reb Nachman's saying here, you have to be saved, because if he's not, he has this, God forbid, this curse. And what is this curse? It was my own strength and power of my hands that brought me my prosperity. That's the curse. Atzem yadayim, my otzem, my yadayim, my hands. My hands made them. This is what Reb Nachman tells us. The first thing you need to do, wash your hands in the morning. We want to eat bread, wash your hands in the morning. The reason why we need to wash our hands in the morning is because we need to cleanse our hands of this idolatry and filth, the thinking that we're in control. And we wash our hands because we want to wash our hands to recognize it's faith. It's all God at the end of the day. Yes, we need to make an effort. But when we don't, when we eat bread and we don't wash our hands, we're trying to basically saying, hey, where do I need to wash my hands? I made the bread. I'm going to eat the bread. So washing your hands is a very extremely Kabbalistic thing. Not only do you wash your hands, you eat the bread, but then you praise God afterwards. So it's really, we think about Berkat HaMazon, washing hands, it's really a business attitude. So you always want to cleanse your hands. Your hands are the problem. Your hands can take control. You know, when you get angry, you grab your hands. You're upset. You know, you clench your hands. Your hands are always moving in one direction. And all the judgment goes to the hand and the feet. So you always have to cleanse your hand. God, please. And what do? We also wash our hands above the head, because we recognize also that faith is always above intellect. We don't want to fall into that. So what happens if you don't have a good desire for money? Then all of a sudden you fall into sadness, and sadness is going to make you fall into sexual immorality. So sexual immorality and sadness go hand in hand. Why? Because the numerical value of, there's a name called Lilith. Okay, this is the Samech Mem, the Satan's wife. The Satan himself has a wife, and her wife, his name is Lilith. We don't mention that name because that name invokes all kinds of judgment. This is why we say Tikkun HaKlali, because we want to counteract that name. And that name, what that name is what she's responsible. She's responsible to get you sad, and then she's responsible to prosecute you in sexual immorality. And this is a problem today where God makes it on purpose, where Parnassa comes through the wife. Because if you don't have a wife, you'll never be able to be fixed. This, we just had a conversation. There are a lot of guys say, you know what? I don't want to be married. Okay, so what you're saying, that you don't want to be married, is a problem. I'll tell you why. When you're saying that, because remember, you came into this little world to be just like God, and God, just like God, is a giver. So when I say I don't want to be married, I don't want to deal with headaches, you're basically saying, I just want to become a taker. So consciously, that's not such a good thing. Because as long as you're just a taker in life, you'll never be happy. I'm only happy when I'm able to have the ability to give. So marriage allows us to go and give. And because you give, God gives you, makes you receive through her. Why marriage specifically? Why is this concept of keeping the bread in marriage? It's because woman, part of the curse of woman is sadness, is connected more to din. And they're much more sadder than men are. That's exactly what Kabbalah says. I don't care who you can email me, my email is broken, so don't worry. So that's the facts. You like it, you don't like it, it is what it is. So men have to come always and give her the light. And part of marriage is for the man, and this is Reb Nachman speaks about this, is for the man to go into the sadness and bring her into happiness. And it's exactly the example. He brings an incredible example. He brings an example of, you know, imagine somebody's at a wedding. Everybody's dancing in the wedding. And what happens? The one guy's sitting down. He doesn't want to dance. You can't just say, oh, look at him. Leave him alone. No. Pick him up and bring him into the dance. It's exactly what men have to do. They have to come and pick the wives up and bring them into the dance. They have to take her out of the sadness and bring her. And one of the ways you could do that, one of the ways that you do that is through relations. Through relations, the intent of relations is to make her happy in that area, because that's an area that makes her happy. But what happens if the man itself is stuck on depression or money, and he's stuck on, God forbid, you know, on sadness and his lack of faith, then he has no light, then he can't do this whole transformation. He can't pick anybody else up because what happened? He can't pick himself up. So the men have to strengthen themselves, and then they're able to pick up their wife. And that's where the shefa comes. The money comes through the wife. So if you did the work, you get it through the wife. You understand? That means the reward is you get it through the wife. Because absolutely, you should say, money comes through my business. Money comes through God. Why telling me through the wife? It's a big lesson to understand that you get when you give. And giving is not comfortable. Giving is very difficult. It's challenging. And that's where anything you're going through, anytime you're going through challenging situations, you're giving, you get. And that's the whole thing. And no, Reb Nachman's saying, when you rectify the Brit, which is, Reb Nachman says, is the number one problem of life, of guys, he's saved from the countenance of the other side. So Reb Nachman tells you here, your happiness is very directly related to your sexual purity. If you don't have sexual purity, there's guaranteed to be sadness. And that sadness will lead you to depression. That depression will lead you to chase more money. Because you figure, well, how am I going to fix this problem? I'll fix it if I make more money. You know, I'll buy Bitcoin. I'll buy this. I'll buy coin. And it just becomes a trap. This is lesson changed my life when I was 23 years old. It was one of the lessons that changed my life. That's how I was able to get out of a gambling addiction. Because I saw the whole connection between one to the other to the other. So once I fixed the Brit, I was no longer in a tavot. I no longer had to go fill an empty hole that didn't need to be filled. But when you fall into that chasing girls and chasing lifestyle, you feel emptiness. And then you say, well, I need something to fill it. It's got to be money.
What lesson is this?
Lesson 23.
And how old were you?
23. There you go. Good. At least you're listening. Lesson 23, when I was 23 years old. This is one of the Torahs that changed my life, by the way. Because the whole connection made sense. So Rachman says, if you work on keeping the Brit, then everything else changes. Then everything else fixes. Everything else, you don't get the desire. You'll be happier. So when you're happier, what's going to happen? You'll be attracting. And common sense, when you're in a good state, when you're happy, you're automatically, opportunities come to you. You're not needy, you're happy, you're growing. People come to you, whether it's also zivug comes to you, a relation comes to you, or even opportunities come to you. You know, nobody wants to marry sad Sally. Nobody wants to deal with, you know, sad people, unfortunately, are energy suckers. And again, nobody has it easy in this world. Everybody has their own share of suffering. Everybody has their own share of suffering. But Malcolm tells us, black and white, there's nobody that doesn't have any share of suffering. Everybody has it. And what we need to do is we need to use the energy of Netzach, and we need to turn it up, and we need to just live a life of meaning so we can deal with suffering. Otherwise, there's nothing but disappointment. So what are you going to do? You know? And it says here, and this is where Nachman says, as written, and with the blood of your covenant, I have freed you from the prisoner of the pit. Because you kept the what is the pit? The Gemara talks about four things, four types of damages. One of the damages refers to the pit. The pit is depression. Because you kept the Brit, I saved you from the pit. I saved you from the pit. I saved you from sadness. So there you go. There's the thing. There's the. And again, on an energetic level, if you are, God forbid, masturbating, God forbid, watching porn, you are a taker. You are not a giver. So there's no reason to be happy, because how can I be happy if I'm not doing anything? We're only happy when we're actually doing something positively. And then that's where we developed this Lahavdil Andrew Tate mentality, you know? You know, I need to go and you understand? It's all sadness. It's not happiness. There's no shechina in this chasing. You're feeding the younger boy that got bullied. You understand? It's not coming from a place of Kedusha. You understand? Andrew Tate is not coming from a place of holiness. It's coming from a place of Tumah. It looks like power, but it's a major, major, major insecurity, because otherwise you don't need. For example, if I have a healthy diet, I don't need to go to a buffet and tell everybody, hey, I'm at a buffet, I can eat what I want. No, it means I have discipline. Sitting at a buffet and stuffing your face is not such a great thing to do. People look at you, you're going to get sick. The same thing when you see a guy with 25 women. Ah, look at me. What do you need 25 women for? Do you understand? It's actually not a weakness. It's a weakness that you're so insecure, you need so much. You understand? It's completely the opposite. But we think, oh, that's chacham. That's why I need to stress. And this is where this generation is getting sucked on this thing. And this is where there's Rav Natan tells us there's two major evils that were put into this world: idolatry and immorality. Okay. Now, where did this come from? It came from the Parshas Noach. First, they had immorality. We know that the sin of you know what the sin of Noach was? Hamas behavior. Hamas. You know what Hamas means? Is according to Hamas, taking something by force. Hamas, going in there selfishly taking, not going in there to give. Hamas, this is what this the whole world, all the universities, they want. Hamas behavior. It's Hamas means ham, hot. You're taking selfishly pleasure. You're not giving. You just stay all about you. So God forbid, all of this is Hamas behavior. I hate to tell it to you. But you cannot, if you fix this problem, and it makes so much sense, because if I fix my, if I'm able to break, which remember, anytime that we are actually going into something difficult in our lives, and anytime we're doing that, and we're breaking a habit, let's say I have this test in my life, and I break this test, and I work on myself, I'm becoming a giver. So if you're becoming a giver, then at the end of the day, God's going to give you somebody to give to. Do you get it? But if I can't think, I can't get out of my own selfish desires, how can I get to somebody else? How can I give to somebody else? It's impossible. So this is why this is the main test for guys. It's not about the woman today. We're blaming people. It's easy today to blame the woman today. It's easy today, but it's not. That's not what the Zohar says. Yes, the women are becoming more feminine. But really, the just like Adam lost the rib, you have to go get it. And that's according to the Zohar. Those are the sources. And the Zohar does not change because there's millennials or Z generation today. The Zohar is the Zohar. And that's the emet that we have to understand. Man's job is to go pursue the second half of the soul. And when you have that, when you work on that, God will bring it to her. And unfortunately, we can lose the Zavug if unfortunately we lose this relationship with etc. So again, Rav Nachman saying here, if you keep the Brit, you will be saved from Tavot Mamon. You will be saved from desires of money. You will be saved from... Now why again? Why are we talking about Kabbalistically why the Brit is related to money? It's very simple. It's because Yesod, Kabbalistically, all the Shefa gathers at Yesod, which is right before Malchut. And if you do not clear Yesod, Yesod means connections. That's, for example, today we're in Netzach, right? And we have to go to Hod. And then after Hod comes Yesod. That's the area. Yesod means relationships, connections. So if I'm not connected to myself, obviously I can't connect to you. And if I can't connect to you, then there's no union, there's no shefa, there's no pipeline. So again, that's why one of the things that changed my life was one of Rav Nachman's, one of these things, where sexual immorality leads to poverty. Obviously today, I understand it on a completely different level. But back then, I was like, I don't want to be poor. What do I need to do? That's what I was thinking back then. Now I understand the feminine, the masculine, the shefa. Back then it was like, what do I need to do? How do I fix this immediately? So what we need to do, and this is why you have to go and seek the wife. You have to go get married, because without getting married, we fall into the sin of Nadav and Avihu. Their sin, Nadav and Avihu's sin, was they didn't want to get married. Why? Because they didn't want to deal with headaches. They don't want to go down and deal with the moon. I want to be the sun. I don't want to deal with the moon. I don't want to deal with the moons, the ups and downs of marriage, the relationships, ups, downs. I don't want to deal with it. They didn't want to deal with it. They wanted to be on one leg. But that's not what you're here for. That's not what you're here for. Just the same thing. The person says, I don't want to go down. I just want to get high. I don't want to deal with life. I just want to get high all day long. What do you tell them? I want to smoke weed all day long. I don't want to deal with anxiety. I don't want to deal with depression. I just want to get high. That's what you're basically saying. I don't want to deal with nothing. I don't want to deal with negativity. I don't want to deal with any negativity. That means you're not coming in this world to elevate evil, which is what the hell do you think you're here for? To elevate evil back to good. God creates evil and evil creates good. You have to go now turn the evil into good. Because evil, at the end of the day, if there's no evil, then good would never be... We could never recognize what good is today. So this is this whole concept. And this is the meaning of what it says, Gemara Brachot. When a man takes a wife, they ask him, found? Did you find somebody or did you find? This is because livelihood corresponds to the wife. There's a Gemara that says whoever interferes with his wife's livelihood, with his friend's livelihood, it's like he had relations with his wife. Because it's stealing, etc. It's very, very connected to. Because remember, you're taking from the source. This is why women have more intuition than men. Women can see if a guy is stealing from you or not. Why? Because woman feels that, hey, this guy's not honest. Don't do business with him. Right? They have that intuition much more than men do. Because God, they're the second half of you. So they're the bina. They're the feminine soul. So when I've told you why I got married right after I was single is because without a wife, you really, really cannot grow spiritually. You cannot grow to the levels of spiritually. Why? Number one, because it's almost impossible to keep the brit if you're single. Number one. It's almost impossible. Especially in today's generation, you know, it's almost impossible to do that. And you will fall into emptiness and chasing. Guaranteed. So I was programmed already. So this is an area where you need to basically level up and say, hey, I need to find a wife. I need to become the prince, and then the queen will come. Becoming the prince is taking responsibility. Becoming the prince is having confidence in yourself. Becoming the prince is also having self-control, having something to give, not just going in there as a taker. And this is where, if we're able to fix this problem with the Brit itself, we can fix the money situation. But if you don't fix the Brit, you will never fix the money situation, because you can't fix sadness. Either you're going to stuff your face or you're going to chase after money. And stuffing your face is not the option. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to be what? You're going to walk around 400 pounds? Or you have to fix this. And this is where you have to... Life comes down to leverage at the end of the day. But the reward is God blesses you. God blesses you through this area, etc. God blesses you. And you'll have contentment and you'll have this. But we should understand that money, that shefa does not come from your girlfriend. It comes from your wife. So you have to really, really understand that. Of course, there's cases where God has patience on people. God, there's certain mazalot, the way people have it. But I'm talking about real contentment, where the money brings you to smile. I'm not talking about having $1 billion and walking. I had a lunch the other day with somebody who's easily worth $500 million, but he's walking around like a teenager who doesn't have a dollar to his name. You understand? That doesn't mean wealth. Wealth means contentment, happiness, relationships. You understand? Not worried about every email that he gets when you're worth $500 million. Then you're really poor. Because if you have that much money and you're still walking around with a subconscious of a 13-year-old, then your subconscious is not matching your wealth. Your subconscious is definitely not matching your wealth, because you're not living with peace and tranquility. And this is the concept of mezuzah. And this is why Reb Nachman tells us that the reason why we put a mezuzah, if you look at the name of mezuzah itself, if you look at the name in the mezuzah, it's Shin Dalet Yud. The word Shin Dalet Yud means enough. I have enough. I have enough of a wife. I'm content. I have enough money. Enough. And why do we use that? It's because that represents the house, the Shin, the mezuzah. And also, mezuzah also has the word Zeus, money. So we put a mezuzah to be saved from the desire of excessive money. I promise you, the way it works energetically, anytime you are chasing something, it's coming because of sadness. Mm-hmm. Anytime you are doing something because of sadness, at the end, it will not work out. It looks like it's going to work out. It appears to you that it's working out. But at the end of the day, there will be a major crash out there. What you want to do in the world, once you're chasing, you already know it's already a dead end. Just like an addict is chasing and then his next craving, his next high. What we need to do is we need to attract things. Power versus force. Do you understand? That's where we need to understand. And this is where the shefa arrives to a person based on his mezuzah. Mezuzah also represents the word it's the name of God that represents contentment and enough. As it says, this is the meaning of the word Zeus. Zeus means moving, and Zeus means also money. And this is the meaning, and Aziz, money, Shin Dalet Yud, through me, through guarding the Brit, through mezuzah, he merits Zevulun, he merits joy. So the mezuzah itself is not just the thing we put on the door, the mezuzah is telling us we need to be happy and content. Mezuzah is also teaching us we have to be more immoral, we cannot be immoral. We cannot be immoral, and we cannot do these things. And this is why our sages says that length of days is a result of mezuzah. And just like the mezuzah protects you from excessive things, which lead to, again, sadness, excessive. It's all related. The mezuzah protects you with contentment and charity. So again, we want to use power. We want to use the power of charity. We want to use the power of becoming givers. We don't want to become the ones using, God forbid, doing the opposite. And we'll end this Torah. I mean, this Torah is, I could be here for 5 hours telling you about this Torah. But I want you guys to get the main points. And it says, however, it is impossible to achieve this focus without fixing the Brit. Because of this main rectification of desire for money is by the means of the Brit, of the covenant. And that means keeping Nida, that means, you know, not spilling the seed, that means all of these things are in that connection. And when a person rectifies his Brit, it is impossible to succumb to greed. So what he's saying here is, because you're going to, when you keep the Brit, you will have contentment. You will have God's name, Shin Dalet Yud. And that name will allow you to be content. And when you're content, money will fly to you. Money comes to you. When people are happy, money, things come to them. It just comes to them. They don't have to ask for it. It comes to them. If you're sad, not only do you not, it doesn't come to you, but then you fall into jealousy, you fall into an envy, you fall into sadness, you fall into fighting within your own wife, within your own household. The whole thing, it just becomes a major, major, major problem. And when a person rectifies his Brit, it's impossible. This is because through salt, the desire for money is lessened. The more I give, the less I have an appetite for it. That's how it works. The more you give, the more you're thinking about more and more. But at the real root of this, the real root of fixing the greed issue in life is, and you see this all the time, by the way. You see that all these celebrities, they get really rich. Next thing you know, the scandal is always with women. There's always a scandal with women. Every single time there's a scandal with women. How come? How come? Look at every single Weinstein's, all these clowns. Look at every situation. How come the scandal is always with a woman? How come every scandal is with women? If you understand that. It's because what God does is he raises you really, really high, and then he drops you. But every scandal, if you see, I don't have to tell you this. This lesson's 250 years ago, is with women. Is with women. Because if this is fixed, there's no problem. You don't hear Warren Buffett, you know, having issues with women. You understand? Because if they fix this area, then you could see there's blessing in the. But when there's no, maybe Jeff Bezos is the exception. No, Jeff Bezos, he did it the right way. But when you get the scandals, always come with women because of this problem. And therefore, those who are accepted in the desire for money, the greater the wealth, the greater the worry, the greater the sadness, the greater the depression. This is because money and wealth are in the category of what sorrow you will eat. With sadness, it refers to a darkened face. So the more money, the more sadness he has. All he's going to do is increase his days and shorten his life. Not increase his worries and shorten his life. So that's what happens when we chase. All we're doing is increasing our worry and shortening our life. With the opposite, money, with the opposite, when a person has a wife, when he has contentment, when he has spiritual, he has length of days, and his life, and he gives his worry, and he has less worries because everything's emunah. So please digest this. There's a lot going here. But without fixing the Brit, this is why the ways to fix the Brit is going to the mikvah, learning Torah, getting married, putting yourself in a position, doing the work to get married, building self-confidence, doing the work to become a giver, knowing how to deal with, you know, knowing how to understand people. Not just, it's not for me. It's not for me. Oh, you're too much taking. Too much taking. You're coming here to give. This is why the mitzvah for children is not on the woman. The mitzvah for children is not on the woman. The mitzvah for children is on the man. It's on the man. It's not for women. So that's what we need to understand, that when I knew this, and I thank God I was programmed at 23, because I don't forget lessons. One thing about me, I don't forget lessons. Right away, you got divorced, you're in Miami, go get married. Otherwise, you will go fall into, like every other clown in Miami, you'll fall into every desire. You'll fall into desire for money, you'll desire for women, desire for, you'll fall into every one of them, and you'll lose your whole spirituality. So if you ask me how I got married, my intention was, I don't want to lose my spirituality. And if my intention was good, God made it happen. But if you are not Scorpio mindset, with that all in, I need to do this, I need to fix this, you're not going to get results. You know why? Because you have somebody called the evil inclination that doesn't want you to get married, and likes when you're single and you're becoming a taker and you're living a life of sadness and you're going from one girl to another. He loves this customer. He's not going to lose you. So if you are not bold and determined to get what you want, you will get what you don't want. So there's where you cannot be, oh, let me take my time. No. Like anything else, you need to have more of a sense of urgency. And if you have a sense of urgency, this is the energy of Netzach. Today's Netzach and today's Teferet. You have to be honest and you have to have sense of urgency, then you will get results. You'll get results. But if you're saying, oh, I'll take my time, take your time. Who knows if you're going to be here tomorrow? What time do you have? How much time do you think you have in life? Who says you're given tomorrow? Reb Nachman says. Who says? You can't live like that. So you need to have a sense of surge. So God willing, Hashem should help us all. I'm telling you, Reb Nachman saved my life. I owe nothing but Reb Nachman's teachings. Otherwise, I would be just like everybody else. And unfortunately, you can't go to a Chabad house and learn these teachings. I'm trying to explain to you. So I love Chabad. I'm a huge supporter of Chabad. But sometimes we need to get underneath the engine and to see what's wrong. So, you know, Reb Nachman is, that's the difference why Reb Nachman, I resonated more with Reb Nachman's teachings. Because I don't see these topics, I don't see this mentioned, I don't see the sense of urgency. You hear this Torah, you're like, oh my God, I got to do something. Not, oh, it's a nice Torah, nice. It's not the parsha of the week here. So you really need to understand the intensity of Reb Nachman's teachings. Reb Nachman wants to get you to the top, but he's also giving you a responsibility you got to handle. And if you can't fix this, then pray for it. Then pray for it. But if you're not praying for it, then we have a problem. He's not telling us we don't have all these issues. He's not telling us we have, but at least put the time in to pray for it. But if we're doing these things and we're not praying for it, then we're just walking around with, you know, checking emails and scrolling and looking at different apps, that's not going to get results in life. So if you are not there, pray for it. At least do that. There's no time for guilt and shame, but to say, hey, I need a sense of urgency. If you don't have a sense of urgency in this kind of topic, this is what's going to happen. And this is what's happening, guys. This is a major problem because there's less children, there's more feminist movement, less children in the world, more divorce. It's just becoming, it's exactly what the evil inclination wants. Is less family, more chaos, more independence, and what? Nobody's giving, everybody's taking. And unfortunately, this is the vibe that we need to get out of. Have a great day. God bless.